best time is to get into the real estate market, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to bring people on that have specialized in either one of these fields or specialized in none of these, like a broke college kid like myself. And we're going to see, you know, what can we do to get better, or what can we do to save money or be more productive with our time to make more money or make long-term investments that are going to help us. And that is basically my goal. So when I bring these people in, you know, it'll be just like a conversation between us, and you guys can basically listen in, and it'll be fun. That's the whole idea of the show, is just to talk casually, you know, have a place and time for where people can get their financial news and go on their day, because everybody doesn't like financials. Everybody thinks it's boring. I love it. That's why I'm doing this. I love talking about money. I think it's a really interesting topic. And how to make money in the USA is just such an intriguing topic to me that I feel like I needed to start a radio show to talk to people about it. All right. Now, forgive me. I have a little scratchy voice today. I did just fly in from South Carolina last night. I actually went on vacation, my first vacation ever as an 18-year-old. Yes, I'm 18, by the way. I went down with my friend who I met at work like 6 months ago, became really good friends. We golfed, we did fun things, and we ate good food, real good food down there, by the way. If you ever get to go to Myrtle Beach, go do it. Don't do it in the summertime though. It's crazy traffic. All right. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about myself and how things are going to really work around here. So not a lot of people really want to get advice from 18-year-olds. Especially on finances, because, you know, what do you have to do to trust me? Well, exactly. Well, that's why I'm here to tell you my credentials, okay? So I graduated Eastern Area High School in PA, right along the Jersey and PA border in 2021, which was this year, finally. And now I go to college at Northampton Community College, which is right along the same exact place, just a little bit east. Anyway, during last year, I have gotten my real estate license in New Jersey. I'm a professional real estate agent. I have been trading stocks under a custodial account for almost 6 years. I know a good deal about the market, how it affects us. You know, I've been doing it for almost 6 years now, so I'd like to think I'm a little bit good at it, and I know what I'm talking about to a certain extent. I don't know everything, but I know a good deal. And, you know, soon, actually this month, I'm going for my PA realtor's license. I'm going to get that done. And then after that, I plan on taking my ENA agent, ENA exam, which is an enrolled agent for the IRS. It's basically so you could do people's taxes. You could be a licensed tax professional and advise them on, you know, how to do their taxes. You could do their taxes for them or just give advice. And basically that's the whole idea of it. And I'm going to get that license. And then after that, I do plan on taking my life and health of PA life insurance license. I like life insurance. I believe there's good money in the business. And it also helps people. I was looking at the structure of how life insurance works, and it's really interesting. I don't know everything about it. That's why I'm taking the classes for it in January, but I think that's really cool. I think it's a great way to help people, you know, ensure that their family is able to get a good return on, you know, on their life savings, because, you know, people do drop dead here and there, or they, you know, they do take out life insurance because it's easier than a retirement plan. You'd be surprised. And that's what we're going to hear. That's what this show's to talk about. We're going to talk about all the financial angles to go at retirement, to go at saving money, to buy a house, to buy a car, when, you know, how to build your streams of income. That's what we're going to talk about on this show here. And I think it's really, really interesting. And so what we're going to talk about today is we're just going to talk about the basics. I'm going to pretend that everybody who's listening to me is a kindergartner, and we need to start from base one. Okay, so we're going to talk about assets and liabilities, and we're going to talk about the market and what it's been doing for the past 2 years. And when I say the market, I mean the overall economy of the United States. I'm talking about the stock market, with the real estate market, with the bond market, okay, with the Federal Reserve, who's also with the government policies. We're going to talk about all that today. Okay, we're going to get just into a little bit, but so we have to identify what an asset is, and we have to identify what a liability is, okay? So an asset, plain and simple, is something that puts money into your pocket every single month or increases your net worth. A liability does the exact opposite. A liability takes money out of your pocket every month or decreases your net worth, okay? Good example of an asset would be stocks or a CD, okay? You are getting a return on your money, and it's increasing your net worth by whatever per month, okay? A good liability would be a car. And a lot of people would argue with me that a car is not a liability. I would argue that a car is, okay? And it's just because the car depreciates 10% once you buy it. Once you drive it off that lot, if you just paid 10 grand for that car, it is now worth 9 grand. Plain and simple, if you were to go back and try to sell it back to the broker, back to the dealership, is worth 9 grand. Okay, on top of that, you have monthly payments with interest on them, and then you have any repairs on the vehicle that may or may not be tax deductible depending on how you got them. And on top of that, you have to pay for insurance. You have to pay for, you know, if you upgrade the car in any way. I argue that a car is one of the worst investments you can make, but you have to make it because you have to have a way to get around. So sometimes it's a necessary investment, but it's technically a liability, speaking here, because, you know, you got your insurance payment, you got your monthly payment, you got any repairs for the year, you got your depreciation on the car. So there's four things about a car just right there that make it a liability. Just want to get that straight and out clear. Now you could argue a house is a liability. Now that's where it gets tricky. See, a house, when you just live in it, when you yourself live in it, yeah, it could be considered a liability, but it could also be considered an asset if you were to rent it out. If you were to rent out the bottom half, or you use rental properties, or you do house hacking, which we'll all get into in later episodes, your house can be considered an asset, but just for the regular middle-class family who lives there, pays monthly payments on it with interest, pays any repairs for it, and anything else that goes wrong with the house, you know, for God forbid, if it were to, you know, have any water leakage, or, you know, the dog pees on the carpet, you know, all stuff you have to replace in the house. And, you know, it's taking money out of your pocket every single month. But what's also cool about that is that real estate, which are houses, sit on land, and land appreciates. So, you know, every single year your house goes up about 2 to 3% in value. It's just plain and simple, and that's due to inflation. But that's the nice thing about real estate, and we're going to get into that. But a good example of an asset would be stocks, okay? Stocks. So if you just do a regular, you know, S&P 500 index stock, or you could just go NASDAQ. We'll go QQQ if you guys know what that is. It's the index for the NASDAQ. That can be considered an asset. Now, it's a riskier investment, but more than likely, there's depending on the one that you invest in, there's a dividend on it, which is putting money in your pocket every single month or every 3 months or biannually, depending on the index. And then it appreciates annually, most likely, unless the stock market decides to take a dump like it did in COVID 2 years ago. Okay? And it just gives you a return on your money. That puts money into your pocket every single month. That is considered an asset. And the goal of this entire show is to talk about how to build those assets. We're going to take step by step. I'm 18. I'm just in the beginning of my wealth building journey. My goal is to kind of just take you guys along with me, and maybe you guys copy me, or maybe you guys spur out from me, or maybe you guys get an idea from me and turn that into a business. Any way that this show can positively affect your life, that is my goal. Whether it's saving 20 bucks on groceries, because we're going to talk about the different ways that grocery stores trick you into buying more expensive things. You know, there's a million things. Same with restaurants. Same with, you know, if I could just save you $50 a month, I did my job. That's my job. Okay. So those are an asset. That's an asset and liabilities. Okay, there's plenty more of them. There's more liabilities than there are assets in the world. But The goal is to get assets, because if you buy assets, you're going to end up becoming wealthy, or you're going to build wealth over time. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the end of COVID. Okay, past 2 years of COVID, what the market has done. All right, and it's kind of hard to understand, even for me, because there's been so many different factors playing into COVID at once. It just doesn't make sense. Like now, you know, we're seeing all-time highs in the stock market right now, all-time highs in real estate right now. I'm sure most of you know this already. If you're listening to this, we see all-time highs in Bitcoin right now, almost all-time highs in Bitcoin right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, that doesn't make sense because we just had a 10% recession less than 2 years ago. You know, that how have we come back from that? And I'm going to tell you why. It's this institution called the Federal Reserve. Okay, and that's what part of this entire episode is going to be about, is the Federal Reserve. Okay, in order to understand anything about the market, you have to understand who the Federal Reserve is, what they do, and why they do it. Okay, so basically, to just keep it straight and simple, the Federal Reserve is a private centralized bank that loans money out to the United States government. Okay, it was created in 1913 in the Federal Reserves Act, and it came into law. And what that basically did, it allowed Congress to borrow from a centralized source of money. It gave the Federal Reserve power to print money and control inflation rates. That's what Congress gave the Federal Reserve power to. Now, we could argue that's a horrible decision, but I'm just giving the facts right now. It was a horrible decision on Congress's part, but at the time they needed some place to borrow money from, because you know they. World War I was starting, and then they were going into what would call the 1920s, which was like the greatest prosperity of American economics in almost 3 or 4 decades at that time. But what happened was, when they came into law, it was a bunch of these billionaires who pooled their money together and created a bank called the Federal Reserve. Okay, and once that happened, they started our tax code, which what we consider now our first income tax, was created that year. If you guys actually know your history, you actually know that's a lie. And the first income tax was, I think, 1862 or 1872. And it was actually outlawed 13 years later, because people hated it so much. They hated it so much. Congress put it into law and then took it out of law like 13 years later. Something along the lines of that, which I thought was funny, because, you know, the founding of this country was based on the basic principle that we didn't want to pay taxes. I don't know why, but basically our founding fathers just didn't want to pay taxes. And then here we are, we instituted, you know, not even an institution 140 years later that brought taxes back into our system and arguably increased them. Over the course of almost 100 years, it's been 108 years since that institution has been in place. Okay, so Federal Reserve came into power, right? No problem, no biggie. You know, Congress borrowed a lot of money from them from 1913 and 1928. And what they did was they actually borrowed too much money. And what that ended up doing is it caused the Great Depression in 1929, which I'm sure most of you know about. But it was the Federal Reserve that caused that, because the reason why the economy crashed was because there's a multitude of reasons, but the main one was because when you borrow too much money, you're putting too much money into the economy. And when that happens, inflation goes up. Because if I have one pencil and I'm the only one who has this pencil, it's worth more to everyone around me because I'm the only one who has it. It's like having a rare collectible, right? But if I make 10 of those same pencils, that value of that pencil is going to drop because 10 or 9 other people have it. So that's the problem with inflation. When you print more, our money, your money, is worth less. And that's why the Federal Reserve is a problem. And now it's gotten so bad where that they're the only thing that's keeping this economy alive right now. The only thing. If the Federal Reserve were to drop dead tomorrow and go out of law, the entire world economy is going to collapse. Without a doubt in my mind, there's not a debate on that. That's just the facts, because they are printing money, $120 billion a month since COVID started, into the economy. And you're like, well, how do they print money into the economy? Well, here's what they do. They print $120 billion, which is on a computer screen. They don't actually print it anymore. They just type it into a bank or a little code for them. And they buy $120 billion. That's a lot of money. That's more money than any of us will most of any of us will see in our entire lifetime. And they buy bonds with it. And the reason they buy bonds with it is because bonds and interest rates are inverse of each other. So if bonds are up here, interest rates are down here. If interest rates are up here, bonds are down here. That's just how it works, plain and simple. Okay? And when you keep interest rates low, it lets assets rise. Because when you keep interest rates low and you print more money, it creates inflation. So inflation's happening, which is driving the prices up of things like milk, real estate, like, you know, your groceries, real estate, the stock market. And when the Fed keeps buying all of these bonds, it's pushing our interest rates down, which that also pushes the stock market up through inflation. So everybody who has assets like stock market, bonds, real estate, they're making a ton of money in this pandemic. They're making a ton of money. But the people who aren't in that, they're not making money. And that's like what I'm trying to do is shed light on here. You know, we all have to get in on this. You know, like this is possibly the best time to make money that since 2008. 2008, you know, the subprime mortgages, you know, took a dump. And now the millionaires came off of it. Millionaires and billionaires were created because of it. Now, guess what? In 2-3 years, we're going to see millionaires and billionaires created because of the 2020 COVID pandemic. Okay. So back to the Federal Reserve. We're at the Great Depression. Great Depression happened, yada, yada, yada. World War II happened. You know, we're borrowing a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. Everything was going fine. It was working as it was supposed to, because at the time, money was grounded in gold. We were on the gold standard. And what that basically meant was I could take a $20 bill 60 years ago, walk into any bank or any federal bank in the United States, hand them a $20, and I get a piece of gold in return. Okay, our monetary system was based in gold, and it was set up like that because our founding fathers made it like that. And the reason they made it like that is because they didn't want a government printing too much money, because they knew that would cause inflation. They understood economics so well, they actually based it in gold and silver, because they knew that it takes time to dig up gold and silver. You know, you can't just print gold and silver. You have to dig it up in earth. You have to have people dig it up using whatever machines. And that's the only thing that could slowly cause inflation over the years. But the inflation of gold is so much slower than it is money nowadays. Because in 1969, we were taken off the gold standard by Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon, I don't know why. I don't understand the political affiliations of that time. And I do understand, like, the Watergate scandal, but I'm not here to talk politics. I don't know why he did this. For whatever reason, he did, and maybe somebody knows, and maybe somebody can enlighten me. He took us off the gold standard. What that did, it did two things. Okay, it gave complete control of our economy to the Fed. They have the complete control to print as much money as they want, because now it's not rooted in gold anymore. Now they can just print it, because gold, you don't have to base it in gold. You can just print as much as you want. And then it also gave rise to inflation when that happened. And you will see that happen, because if I were to show an interest rate, if any of you are listening to this, look up the 40-year interest rate, 40-year chart of interest rates. You're going to see it starts in 1970, and it's going to go, it's around 10%, and it's going to shoot up to 18%. Okay, that's the Fed. And then like 5 years later, in like 1975 to like 2021, you're just going to see this downtrend over the course of 40 years. Now, there's a reason for that, and that's my point. It's the Fed, Okay, the Fed is printing money and they're intentionally pushing interest rates down because it's pushing assets up. It's pushing real estate up. It's pushing prices of groceries up. It's pushing gas up. I'm sure my older people in the audience can remember in 1980 when McDonald's came out and it was 15 cents burger. Now those burgers are about $1.50. Now granted, $1.50 is not a lot, but $1.50 from 15 cents to $1.50, that's thousands percents of inflation. Like that's 1,000% more. Or I think it's 1,000% if I'm doing my math correctly. It's probably a little bit more than 1,000%. But that's ridiculous. Think about the price of gas. Think about what the price of gas was 40 years ago. Probably nickels on the dimes compared to now. Now it's – I mean now in Pennsylvania, I was just driving this morning. I just flew in from South Carolina. The gas down there is $3, which I thought was a lot. When I left here a week ago – from my home, gas here was $3.40. I come back, it's $3.75, $3.80. I'm like, oh my God, $4 for a gallon of gas. That is ridiculous. And my truck is a gas guzzler. It just kills gas. I barely get down the road out of my neighborhood without having to stop at the gas station. It's ridiculous. But that's my point. And the reason is inflation. My whole point about the Fed is that inflation and them lowering interest rates, creating inflation and printing money, which creates inflation, it's going to help people with assets, you know, rich people and people who are just smart. It's going to help them build wealth. Right? And then there's aspects of how to pull your money out of those assets, but that's for another time. But the thing with this is that this specifically hurts a specific group of people, and it's called middle America or middle class and lower class. And the reason is because most middle class families don't have the amount of assets. They don't have rental properties. They might have one or two if they're trying to, you know, pay off their mortgage and not have to pay their mortgage. They don't have a lot of money invested in the stock market, or they don't know how to. They don't have any of these assets that are appreciating at such a high rate because of the Fed. And the people that do have these assets, they're making millions and billions of dollars. Mark my words, they're making millions of dollars, especially these past 2 years. Oh my God, they made a killing. They made a killing. And it's because of that is that the Fed is so dangerous, is that now if you, the listener, aren't aware of what the Fed is doing, the Fed's policies, you won't be able to make good based financial decisions. You are going to end up paying more for milk and gas and houses at the wrong time and not have anything to counterattack that. You're going to be paying all these high prices for the rest of your life, and mark my word, it will be the rest of your life, and you will not have any assets to counteract the inflation in our country. And our inflation is normally 2-3% a year. Okay, that's a normal inflation rate. You know, you can't really stop it because it's what the Fed prints every single year. But now a report just came out, it was 5.1% this year. 5.1, because the Fed printed a ton of money, but that's besides the point. 5.1%. And what, if you guys need a visualization of that, is that I had $10,000 last year, and I wanted to buy this here microphone right here, okay? And let's just say this microphone was $10,000, okay? Which obviously it's not $10,000, but for our purposes here today, it's $10,000 microphone. It must be a hidden treasure in there, okay? So if I tried buying that in 2020, all right, and the inflation rate was 5%, okay? This microphone would be worth $10,500 this year, which you're like, okay, well, it's only $500. Yeah, but imagine that. Imagine that across the board for everything that you pay. Everything is 5% more, okay? This computer is 5% more. This That camera that I'm live streaming off of right now is 5% more than it was last year. And it's normally 2% more or 3% more, but that's understandable. Like that's regular, but 5% is a lot. And I think it was 4% last year. Now it's 5% this year. When is it going to stop? I don't know. That's up to the Fed. And that's why we watch the Fed to figure that out. But now it's 5% more. So let me ask you, who here got a 5% raise this year? Did anybody get a 5% raise in their salary or their wage or their hourly wage? Did you end up making more money or that 5% more money than you did last year? Because if you made 10 grand last year and you did not make $10,500 this year, you got a pay cut. You got a pay cut. Okay, and that's the thing about inflation. It's a secret tax. It nobody notices it, but it's a secret tax. Everybody's now paying 5% more for certain things, or on average 5% more. Okay, so how do you counteract this? You have to buy assets that keep in pace with inflation. Could be gold, could be silver, could be bonds, could be stocks, could be real estate. And I'm going to keep saying this over and over again until it gets into your head. It could be a business. You could start a business that appreciates annually 10%. Excuse me. Okay. And that's the entire point of this whole show, is that we're just going to talk about ways to counteract the Fed, talk about ways to make money, talk about ways how to invest into the stock market, the different ways to invest into the stock market. We can talk about different ways to invest in real estate and the different types of real estate to invest in. We're going to talk about all of that. And I'm going to bring on people and I'm going to go step by step. Okay, I'm going to tell you all the knowledge I know. I'm going to tell you all the knowledge that they know. We're going to go step by step so then, you know, we're not left with these, you know, gurus online that are telling us, oh, pay for my course, do this and that, and I'll teach you money. No, that's not going to work. I just rather, it's easier to learn it here than it is out there. And it's only an hour a week. You know, you come in, listen to 15 minutes, leave, boom, you're done. You got your financial news for the week. All right. All right. Anyway, we're going to go on a commercial break for about 5 minutes, and then I'll be coming back. All right.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The people have spoken in Virginia. Republican Glenn Youngkin defeated Democrat Terry McAuliffe in the Virginia governor's race.
We will change the trajectory of this Commonwealth. And friends, we are going to start that transformation on day one.
Governor-elect Youngkin is a businessman with degrees from Rice and Harvard universities. He will assume the position January 15, 2022. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky greenlit the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. That is the final step in the approval process that makes coronavirus vaccines available to younger children as soon as Friday. In baseball, the Atlanta Braves beat the Houston Astros 7-0 to win the World Series in Houston, Texas on Tuesday night. USA Radio News.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from SimpliSafe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, SimpliSafe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Get free shipping with the order of a new system at simplisafe.com today.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
The gubernatorial race in New Jersey remained too close to call. Both candidates held off declaring victory, saying they'll wait until every vote is counted. Minneapolis, Minnesota voters on Tuesday rejected a ballot measure to overhaul the city's police department. The measure called for replacing MPD with a new Department of Public Safety. It was rejected by voters with 56% against the measure. How much is the turkey going to be this year at Thanksgiving?
There are concerns the current supply chain backlog is having an impact on prices for goods, particularly food for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. Butterball president and CEO Jay Jandrain, speaking on Fox Business, says companies like his have no control over the prices set for turkeys.
It is reasonable to expect that there will be some increase in cost this year. You're still looking at a pretty tremendous value, though, when you're looking at your whole bird purchase for Thanksgiving. So it's still a very economical protein for you to buy.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
In his first bid for...
All right, and we are back from the commercial break. All right, this is your host, Greg Fortunato, with FFF, Future Fortunes with Fortunato. All right, and now to get back into what we were talking about. We're talking about the Federal Reserve, inflation, and interest rates. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of buzzwords at you, but keep with me here. You know, once you keep listening to what I have to say and the other episodes, you know, you're going to see how some of these connect. You know, you're going to make that, if you didn't already, you're going to make that click in your head and be like, oh, I get what he's saying. You know, I understand what he means about interest rates and Federal Reserve and blah, 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 all these buzzwords that, you know, financial gurus throw around. All right. So while we're on break, I just looked up, a website called Zero Hedge. Great source for your financial news. It basically tells you how the stock market's going to do today. Now, I'm going to make a prediction here, okay? So, I'm going to read you this article. It says, here's the title, "Just in time for the taper, Treasury cuts long-term debt sales for the first time since 2016. Now, I'm just going to make a prediction here, okay? And you guys can check, okay? Today is what? November 3rd. Wednesday in 2021. I'm going to make a prediction here that the market's not going to like this, okay? And I'm going to tell you why, okay? The stock market right now, as I was explaining, was propped up by the Federal Reserve, okay? It was propped up by their spending. You know, there are $120 billion of bonds because they're keeping the interest rates low, okay, which is propping the stock market up. Okay, the stock market is very volatile to news like this, and I'll tell you why. Because the stock market knows, Wall Street knows, that if the Federal Reserve stops printing money, that their investments are down the drain. And by God, they will be out of those investments before they even announce that. But my point is that if the Fed is expected later today to announce, let me read it here, Fed set to announce a taper later today. So whenever that later today is, stock market's not going to like that because they want the money pumped into the stock market. And when I say stock market, it's not a person or a thing. It's just a market. It's a free market that the Fed has somewhat control of. And what the Fed does heavily influences that market. And the reason it does is because it controls how high or low the stock market goes. And when the Fed spends more money and dumps it into the bonds, which pull down interest rates and shoot assets up like the stock market, that's good. That's good for the stock market. But if the Fed stops printing money and buying these bonds, the bonds are going to end up going down, okay, which are going to push interest rates up, which are going to pull assets down. Okay, does that make sense? It's a kind of like a pulley action. One goes up, other one pulls, other one brings it up or down, okay? All right, anyway, so this is a, I'm kind of glad. This is for our first episode, you know, we got some news here. So when this taper ends up in effect, the Fed knows that it needs to stop printing money. And it's two reasons why, okay? So the first reason is they're just kicking the can down the road, okay? The stock market needs to correct itself. We need some sort of correction. I don't know how big. I'm not a financial expert. I'm not going to know how much the stock market's going to pull back. But what I do know is that it is going to pull back at some point in the future. It is going to have to pull back. It's going to have to correct itself because the Fed is putting all this money into the thing. And as soon as they start tapering the money, when they say by tapering, they mean, oh, instead of putting $120 billion, we're going to put $113 billion and then $110 billion, and then we're going to go down to $90 billion by month. And there's talk that they're going to completely stop in June, which is not good for anybody because that's gonna set us back a little bit in terms of all-time highs. So hopefully later today, you guys will be able to look up and see what the Fed announced, okay? And then when you go, make your own decisions. You read it, make your own decisions, blah, blah, blah. And watch what the stock market does today. I looked, it's not 9:38? I looked, Dow was already down 40 points this morning, and I guarantee you it's because of this, because the Treasury announced that it was cutting. The Treasury, so that means the Fed's going to cut. So that's not good, because as soon as the Treasury cuts, the Fed's going to follow, and the stock market's going to hate it. I don't know how much the stock market's going to hate it, because it's whether or not the people believe the rumor, and that's going to either make people sell off, or it's going to make them buy in, or who knows. But my guess, my prediction, is that it's not, okay? So we are in this position in this country right now with our interest rates, which are not very good. And this is why we should have never gave control to the Fed. We should have just let a free market happen. And because right now we have a manipulated free market. You know, you could buy and sell whatever you want, and you could negotiate. But guess what? It's inflated or deflated by the Federal Reserve because they control the money supply and the interest rates. And the reason why interest rates are such a problem now in this country is because they're getting too low, okay? Our interest rates, I believe, are around 1%. I don't know the exact number. I should know because I'm a realtor, but I don't know. The Fed has been pushing down, like I said. Remember that chart I was talking about, that 40-year chart? The Fed has been pushing that down for over 40 years, okay? Now that's not a crazy bad problem like when it was at like 6%, but now we're getting at 1%. And we've gone from 3% to 1% within, what, 3-4 years because of COVID? That's not good, because if we keep this downtrend going, and we'll eventually get into like the 0.05 or 0.1% for interest rates, and then we're going to go negative. If we go negative, that means you and I are going to be able to go to a bank and borrow money and get paid for it. That's not going to work, obviously. That'll collapse the financial system. So the Fed has only one choice, and that's to raise interest rates. And when they do raise those interest rates, everything's going to fall down. Now, I'm not going to say it's some big crash coming, but it will be some sort of correction. There's no doubt about it in my mind that there will be a correction within the next 2 years. Now, it depends how far the Fed wants to go with this. So they can keep printing money for 2 more years, and then guess what? I'm going to say the same thing in 2 years. It's going to come down as soon as the Fed stops printing money. Whenever the Fed stops printing money, that's when the stock market's coming down, without a doubt in my mind. There's no other thing that's affecting it besides the Fed right now. All right, so that leaves us into a weird predicament here. So you're like, okay, Greg, so if the interest rates go down and the Fed keeps printing money and the interest rates keep going down, they'll eventually collapse the economy, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Okay, but if they stop printing money, they're going to also cause a correction in the economy. And I'm like, yeah, that's what's going to happen. We're not in a good position right now. There's going to be some sort of financial correction either way. It's just a matter of when. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen is because of the Fed. They've been doing this for almost 40 years. 40 years they've been doing this, pushing down on the interest rates. And I think they're doing it intentionally. Now, I'm not here to get political. You could argue that they're trying to ruin the American economy or whatever you want to do. I personally, I don't care. All I care about is making sure staying on the right side and making money. That's all I care about. They can do whatever they want. We could be having the Chinese yuan over here. Wong, I don't know what it's called. And we could do that. As long as they make money, I don't care. But I feel like these guys have just been intentionally doing this, or they're just very stupid people in a very powerful position. And I don't think they're stupid, because they're very smart people and they make a lot of money doing it. Okay. And so now we're just now in a position, no matter where we go, we're going to have some sort of correction. And now you're like, well, Greg, I thought you said buy assets, but if you buy assets right now, we're at the peak. We are at the peak of the market. So now it's not a good time to buy. But when this correction comes and all these people lose money who bought at the height of real estate and want to get out, or people who want to retire with their 401ks and now their 401ks are destroyed because of the Federal Reserve, that becomes a problem. And that's why I have a problem with the Federal Reserve. And that's why I'm trying to spread it to other people so they can kind of, you know, be a little bit more smarter about it. You know, and that's the way, that's what we're going to do here. So we're going to talk, you know, we got 15 minutes left. I got through basically like the basics of what I wanted to, of like our financial system, how it works. You know, when we got taken off the gold standard that created all this, we went into a debt-based system, not a gold standard system. We went into a debt-based system. Your net worth is based on how much people owe you, okay? The Fed's net worth is based on how much the United States owes them, and they get paid out pretty handsomely for it, okay? As well as what they do affects the economy and the insider trade. And you're like, well, Greg, how do you know the insider trade? You have no proof of that. Well, actually, yes, I do. Eric Rosengreen, literally last month, September 30th, he retired because he literally got caught for insider trading of millions of dollars. He made millions of dollars off of a trade that I believe they set the policy so they know what's going to happen in the stock market. So he knew that this whatever policy was going to put in, he bought a bunch of stocks and he made millions off of them because he knew the policy was going to affect those stocks, bought in. They rose, sold out, got exposed for it. I don't know who exposed them. I mean, you could argue the Fed members exposed them because they all do it. This guy just got caught, and he's not the only guy who got caught. He was the Boston Fed president. I mean, that is a high place in the country. I mean, they basically run the government. They control the money. Who's going to control them if they control the money? You know, Congress wants to pass a law or this $1.75 trillion deal. And guess what? If someone in the Fed, if a couple of them, they don't like it, they could just be like, well, we're not going to give you the money for it. Because they don't have to. They have no obligation to. They do to a certain extent, but they could say no. Like, you have to pay us back a certain thing. They could do a lot of tricks to control the government and Congress of how they go about things. So, you know, when people say Democrat and Republican, I mean, I'm like, well, no. It's Federal Reserve. It's those people who are really behind the political schemes of today. And it's all an opinion, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that they are a corrupt bank that has put us into a very difficult financial situation for the country. And a lot of people are going to get hurt. And the people who don't know about this, are going to get killed. You know, farmers are going to get killed when the prices of their stock go down. Because, you know, for the past 2 years, they've been making a killing. But they're going to get hurt. People with 401ks, 401bs, any type of retirement investment that relies on the stock market, that you have to wait to pull out or you get taxed heavily, they're going to get killed because they don't know what's coming. And, you know, I hope that the financial advisors in this country realize this and see this and are able to call it now and get their clients in a way to protect themselves. Okay. So anyway, to get back to my point, is that a lot of people are going to get hurt from the Federal Reserve, and our job here today is to just do everything we can to stay on the right side of their policy, buy things that keep in place in, with inflation, okay, and to invest properly and educate and with some knowledge. You know, we don't just want to go into a stock, or we don't just want to go into an investment with no knowledge of why we're doing it, or, you know, what's the plan. You know, you have to have a plan. You always have to have a plan no matter what you invest in. You have to have a plan on when to get in, when to get out, when to buy, when to sell, when to whatever. It doesn't matter what you do with it. It just matters that you have a plan. If you want to buy and hold, great. Great. You can buy and hold. I don't suggest it, but you can buy and hold. And the reason I say don't buy and hold is because you are subject to the Fed. You're subject to the Fed killing you on the recessions that are probably going to happen soon. You know, if they screw up, you're in the hole for it. They're not in the hole for it. They're a bank. They just print more money if they need it. You are people who hold and who keep money in savings accounts. And I'm not talking about money like a couple grand or whatever. Like, you know, you're trying to save up for a new car, or you're trying to save up for a rental property or a down payment on a house. I'm not talking about that type of cash. I'm talking about the type of cash that you sit and you just let it stay, and you get an interest rate on it, a crappy interest rate on it, while your money is sitting there losing value because of inflation to 5% a year now. Okay? You're losing money 5% a year, which is insane. If I have $100, then the next year it's worth $95, and the next year it's worth 80-something dollars. I don't know how. I'm not doing that math in my head right now. It's too early in the morning for me. But that's my point. You cannot keep money in your savings accounts. You have to put it, and you can't even almost put it in a CD now, because the CDs don't give it enough annualized return. They get like 2%, 1% return automatic. Yeah, well, guess what? Inflation is still at 3% at the minimum. It just came out at 5%, but let's just say that's wrong and it's at 2%. Okay, if you're getting your CD at 1%, you're still losing 1% of your money. If I have $100, that $100 is now worth $99. But guess what? I'm tying that money up in this CD for the bank for 18 months. So I'm giving you my money to lose out on 1%, and I can't use that money that I worked hard for 18 months, and I'm still going to lose money. So what's the point of doing it? You have to invest in possibly riskier things, or diversify yourself into a point where you're in a – doesn't matter what the market does. You're going to make money off of it regardless, and you're going to keep your return on investment above the inflation rate. That's all that matters. It's all that matters is keeping your return rate above interest. If it's that, then you're good to go. You are good to go. All right. And I'm gonna wrap this first episode up with we're gonna talk about the real estate market. Okay. Now I'm a realtor. A fairly new realtor. I am only 18. I passed the exam a month after, or the couple days after my 18th birthday, because I wasn't legally able to take it, which I think is stupid, because I didn't gain any crazy knowledge by the time I was 17 versus in May when I turned 18. I just automatically became this, like, oh, now I can be a realtor, when like a month ago I knew just as much. But it's been a very interesting turn becoming a realtor, and I'm going to take you guys through my process through that as well. You know, I know a lot of young people don't really know what to do, because, you know, you need these four-year degrees to get into these companies, and they don't know what to do as a side hustle. Real estate is my side hustle. It's a hard side hustle. It's a career. It really should be a career, but with that being said, it is a side hustle, and the money that I make from real estate, I put it back into my investments. Okay, and that's the whole point of a side hustle, because then those investments are going to grow, make me money, and that's the idea. Then I keep in front of inflation. Then I keep in front of the Federal Reserve, and then now I'm good to go. Like, now I'm positioning myself in a good financial situation, you know, especially if I'm paying off college debt as well. It's even better. So I know I threw a lot of buzzwords at you guys today, and a lot of information, but we're going to break down all this stuff. We are going to, week by week, we're going to talk about specific issues. I think we're going to talk about real estate next week. It depends who I have coming in. I might talk about college debt. I might have a friend or two come in to talk about college debt. Because college debt, this is geared towards college students, this show. So I want to have relevant information about college loans and how it screws you up. You know, I know my own mother finished paying off her loans, I think, when she was 38, which was 12 years after she graduated, and which is ridiculous. She went to ESU, which is East Strasbourg University, for anybody who doesn't know. Not the greatest school, but she's a great teacher, by the way. She got a good degree, but not like the greatest school in the world. It's no Harvard or Yale or anything like that. And it costed her a lot of money even back then. And now, you know, with inflation, and actually, here's another thing I could talk about, how the government made federal loans for students so then everybody could go to college. That's what drove up college prices, as well as with inflation every single year. That's what drove college prices up. That's why it costs so much money to get a degree. And that's why so many people who are even getting these degrees are having trouble finding jobs, because now their degree is worth less, even though they paid more for it, because everybody's going to college. I don't personally agree with college. I'm going because I think I need to have something to fall back on, quite truthfully. But everybody's going to these colleges, paying a lot of money. It doesn't matter if you party or not. As long as you get your degree, you get this degree, right? It doesn't matter if you know your stuff or not. You go to a job application. There's 3, 4, or 5 other people with the same degree as you who went to either equally or better schools than you. And now you just spend 60, 70, 80 grand. And now you're in the hole for that 60, 70, 80 grand, and you can't even find a job. And 60, 70, 80 grand is on the low end of what I'm talking about. I know kids that have $210,000 in student debt, and they're not even finished with college. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Villanova, for example, I think they're charging like 75 grand to get in. 75 grand? Oh my, what am I? I better be getting a magic pill. I better be getting those magic beans from like Jack. I forget like the story of like Jack and Anne or whatever it was. Like, I better get something where I go, it grows into the sky and I get magic gold eggs or whatever that story was about. I don't really know what the story was about, but that's not my point. My point is right now college, the degrees for some of these colleges are overpriced. And it doesn't matter that they're overpriced, it's that the people are still going and they're still paying for them. And guess what? Now when they're coming out of college, now they're in a horrible financial situation because A, let's say they didn't work through college. They just wanted to focus on their degree. Fine. And they did. They got it. But now, you know, they weren't the best of their class. You know, they were, you know, top 100, which is still very good, by the way. But, you know, there's also top 100s at every other type of school who have the same degree as you, who want the same job as you, who are going to go work for the same companies as you. So now these companies are just taking the best of the best, or they're playing favorites, and, you know, the doesn't really matter how they get these people, but there's a lot of people who don't even use their college degree and are working in bars and restaurants. I know, because I've worked in the bar, I've worked in the restaurant industry for almost two years, ever since I was 16. And when I was 17, I've had two jobs ever since. As soon as I turned 17, I've had two jobs since. I've worked in these places. I've seen these people who are like, oh, I'm going to college, or like, oh, I'm in between jobs right now, or oh, like I'm still trying to find, you know, the job that's good for me, but they're just working this job to just pay the bills, which, by the way, go you guys. But, you know, this is the consequence of government getting involved with the free market. And now you have this problem where you have all these students, all these people who have college degrees and God knows what, whether they're useful degrees or not, but now they can't even afford. They can't even get a job in that degree. So that's the crappy part about it. But that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about with people I bring on, my friends, some mentors, some business people. You know, I'm going to reach out to everybody. And if you guys know anybody who wants to come on, please come on, talk to me. I don't care. You just have to schedule a date and time. I'll put you down in my little calendar I have, and we'll get it going, and I'll bring you in with somebody else, and we'll talk about whatever you guys want. Just you know, that's the only thing. And that's the hard breaking truth, is that most people are going to be poor because they don't understand the Fed. They don't understand the market. And I'm not saying I do. I'm still learning. But I know enough to know that other people don't know, because when I talk about this stuff, it's like whew, right over their head. So I'm like, okay, somebody needs to just start teaching people. And I'm not a teacher in any sense, but I could definitely just share what I know. And hopefully people can take what I know or take what I say and apply it and use it for themselves. And as soon as they do that, then I did my job. All right. And that was a good episode, right? That was a good episode. Good first episode. Hopefully you guys stay tuned for next week. But I think I'm gonna have some college kids come in. We're gonna talk about student debt. My goal is to, I know college students have including myself, we have weird schedules, so some of them might not be able to come in on Wednesday at 9 a.m. because a lot of them have class or they're hungover from class from the night before. So we will see what they say and what they say. When they come in, I'll try to get one from like community college like myself, and I'll try to get one from like a big school. I have a couple friends down at Villanova, Temple, but we'll see. I have a friend at Princeton who wrestles there, and he's paying a lot of money to go there. Even though he got a scholarship, he's paying a lot of money, and that's like the danger of the entire thing. But we'll come in, we'll talk, we'll go through the benefits, pros and cons of going to a small school for cheap versus a big school for a lot, you know, how it helps in the real world, how we think it will help in the real world, and how do we each plan on paying off our student loan debts. And once we do that, then that'll be next episodes. And I think the next episode after that is going to be about real estate. We're going to begin to graze at the potential way of getting into real estate and how there's so many benefits, tax benefits, income benefits, passive income benefits of real estate. All right. But anyway, I think that wraps us up for our first episode of FFF, Future Fortunes with Fortunato. I'm your host, Greg Fortunato. I appreciate you guys coming in and listening to me. And you can find this episode on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce website. It's in a radio show hosts. Click on my name. I have my LinkedIn profile there, and you could click the thing as well. So I'm probably going to share this through my Facebook and my other forms of social media. But as I say, appreciate you guys, and I'll see you guys next weekend.